For the third Sunday in a row, I want to read in the fifth chapter of Galatians, verses 16 through 26. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that is alive and powerful and reaches to where we are. And we ask that the Holy Spirit will anoint our lips to speak, our ears to hear, illuminate the Word to each of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we talked about that top line on the grid. Our basic relations toward God of love, joy, and peace. We said that love is the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love permeates all of these nine manifestations of love that we call the fruit of the Spirit. We spoke about joy as being the dynamic, the empowering, and peace as being the guard and the guide of that relationship with God. Then last week we talked about the relational attitude of patience, kindness, and goodness, and how they make the love of God visible. How, if we have patience and kindness and goodness, you can see it. And how, if you don't have patience, kindness, and goodness, you can see that too. But today, we want to talk about the bottom line. I guess that's a pun. But the bottom line of the grid is the secret of finishing well. We win or we lose as far as the cause of Jesus Christ in the world is concerned on the strength of our faithfulness, our gentleness, and our self-control. Now, that's a strong statement, I know. And as we look at this grid, it seems as though we're kind of coming down in concentric circles, down into ourselves. And this is what we've called the character attitude. And it's true that this is the private line. This is the line that talks about what kind of person I am and you are. And yet, I want to say it again, we win or we lose as far as the cause of Jesus Christ in the world is concerned on the strength of our faithfulness, our gentleness, and our self-control. Many of us come in on the line of selfishness. We get saved because we don't want to go to hell. I guess that's true of all of us. None of us want to, but we get saved for selfish reasons, and we think of my experience and how I feel. And I'm not saying that love and joy and peace and patience and all these are lesser manifestations of love, but I do say they're basic. But as we walk with the Lord, we realize that we're not just, it's not just Jesus and me, as the song says, but it's Jesus and us. And we realize that we have to have patience and kindness, and we have to get along with each other in goodness. And the Church of Jesus Christ becomes very important to us. But one of the major concerns of Jesus as he spoke to the disciples the night before he was crucified, we read in the 15th chapter of John, he said, "I am concerned that you go and bear fruit, but I'm also concerned that that fruit will remain, that it will last." And the discipline of character that is needed to carry through is what these manifestations of love are all about. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Discipline of character, fruit of the Spirit, revealed in love, in the very fiber of our being, is easy to neglect. Our culture denies the necessity of discipline. It tells us that the now is the important time. I know I prayed that way this morning. And there's a sense in which the now is the only thing that we have. But the Christian is very much aware of the past, of what Jesus has done, and very much aware of the future. And so, the Christian lives on a line of discipline. And he's willing to do and willing to invest today in obedience to God, those things that will bear fruit in the future. Discipline is very much a part of the fruit of the Spirit. But our culture says, no, now, whatever feels good, let's demand what's coming to us. Let's get our rights now. You know, our human nature resonates with our culture. It agrees with it and looks for the cheap and the easy solution. I don't know about you, but I'm just about as lazy as I dare to be. I don't want to call it the sinful nature, but just my old human nature. You know. And if I let it, it'll resonate with the culture that says, take it easy. Don't put yourself out. You don't have to. And you know, a popularly preached doctrine of faith as a cheap faith plays right into the hands of our culture and says, you know, if I confess Jesus Christ as Savior, if I believe that he died on the cross for me, then I know I'm saved. And it's nice if I work for the Lord, and it's nice if I discipline my life. But really, it's not necessary. I'm just as sure of heaven as if I were inside. And then, too, there's the futility in trying to discipline ourselves, to find soul discipline apart from a vital dependency upon the Holy Spirit. And all of us have said, well, boy, I need to shape up. I need to be more disciplined in my life. And next Monday, it's always next, you know. Tomorrow, I'm going on a diet. Next Monday, I'm going to get up at 6 o'clock. And so next Monday, we get up at 6, and Tuesday, something happens, and we sleep in, and Wednesday, we're right back to what we've been doing before. It's tough to discipline yourself, and I would say it's impossible to find what Paul is talking about here as a fruit of the Spirit of faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control apart from the indwelling, abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. Remember what Bertha Monroe said for the message 2 weeks ago this morning when I asked her to give me some help. She said, tell him it's his joy. And that applies to all of us. It's his patience. It's his faithfulness. That's a catchphrase, by the way, though. His faithfulness to our unfaithfulness. Don't buy it. Nowhere in the Scripture does it excuse our being faithless or unfaithful. But it is his life within us The indwelling, reigning, sanctifying Spirit will infuse love into the very fiber of our character if we will walk with Him, if we will get in step with Him. Now I want to look just briefly at these three manifestations of love this morning. The toughest relationship of all, our relationship with ourself, the character attitude. Let's look at that business of faithfulness. It says faith in this King James, but it's the manifestation of faith. Faithfulness. In another one of his epistles, Paul says it's required in a steward that a man be found faithful. J.R. Miller said, too many people are not faithful in little things. They are not to be absolutely depended upon. They do not always keep their promises. They break engagements. They fail to pay their debts promptly. They come behind time to appointments. They are neglectful and careless in little things. In general, they are good people, but their life is honeycombed with small failures. One who can be positively depended upon, who is faithful in the least things as well as in the greatest, whose life and character are true through and through, gives out a light in this world which honors Christ and blesses others. I want to tell you this morning that the indwelling Spirit will condemn faithlessness and unfaithfulness in us, and the indwelling Spirit will continually bring His fruit of faithfulness to bear upon the situation of our heart. And there's no division in sacred and secular so far as our character traits are concerned. That may be a bitter pill to swallow. You say, you don't know how well I prayed through in altar prayer. Well, I came up shouting. I prayed through just clear as crystal. I want to tell you there's no such thing as being faithful spiritually, but being shoddy and undependable and slovenly and lazy in a secular way. That's tough preaching. It's a lot tougher than preaching on some of the more obvious sins of the flesh. And I'm preaching to myself this morning, but I'm preaching the truth. And faithfulness will be revealed in every aspect of our lives. I think in terms of our faithfulness and friendship to God and to man. You ever had a faithful friend? Are you a faithful friend? The opposite of a faithful friend is one who's a fair weather friend. You ever hear a real good friend talking about his friend in the absence? Wouldn't know the same person. They come in the room, all of a sudden, things have changed. Critical, censorious, self-serving, wearing the face that other people you hope they want to see. I think in terms of a faithful friend, I'm not going to mention names, but I remember more than 20 years ago, there was a certain church worker who had been, in a sense, disgraced, and had changed denominations. And I heard somebody say, oh, X, Mr. X, did so-and-so. And it served him right. And I heard a man who had been his pastor come back with a statement. I don't believe it. And until I hear it from his mouth, I'll not believe it. I know the man. He's a friend of mine. I believe in him. And it was just a casual, it wasn't perhaps the main thrust of that day, but that stuck in my mind. And I thought well of the man that said it, and I also said, isn't that good? A faithful friend. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Faithfulness is required for mastery in any endeavor. If you're going to do anything that's worthwhile, that lasts, it's going to require that you invest yourself faithfully in it. And I would remind you, as faithfully as I know how this morning as your pastor, that when you stand before the judgment bar of God and Jesus speaks to you, if he approves, he will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Not necessarily good and tremendously successful servant, not necessarily good and spectacularly effective servant, but he will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," and faithfulness is a fruit of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. I suppose when I preach this way, I get under conviction, and you do too. Because this is a growing thing, and it's a fruit that needs to be cultivated. And we have to keep digging at it. And I'm not telling you this to dump on you so that you'll never, I'm lost. But it is something that we can expect as we keep in step with the Spirit. He will develop this within us. Praise the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Then the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, or it says in King James, meekness. Matthew 5:5, the same, basically the same word. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Gentle, meek. Isn't it interesting how wise the Spirit is as he balances these things? I've seen people that seem to be so faithful. They were there when they were supposed to be, and woe be unto you if you weren't. They'd hold you to it. They'd pin you to the wall by your ears. But what a balancing thing it is that the plea on the part of the apostle was, "I beseech you by the gentleness, by the mercy of Jesus." And this is a necessary corollary to faithfulness. To my mind, it's the proof of the Spirit's joy. You can go right down if you want to. Joy, kindness, gentleness. It's not enough to be strong. Gentleness is strength under control. It's power. But it's power under his control. Not just power to shoot off fireworks or power to say, "What a good boy am I," like little Jack Horner. But it's power under control. Jesus was the Lamb of God. And we are to have his Spirit. And I would remind you again, as we said last Sunday morning, it's not just for people who are by nature and by temperament easy to get along with. This is something which works even with a grouch. If we'll walk with the Spirit and let him walk with us, his gentling Spirit will control our strength, mitigate our faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Discipline like this is not just carrying through on the gravy of life, not just faithfully doing what is easy, but it's by the presence of the Holy Spirit doing what is right. And it's submitting everything, self-control. When you get it down absolutely perfect, you'll be glorified. I've been wrestling with one aspect of self-control for many years. I think I've lost 500 pounds and gained 502. I think I'm on the minus side right now. But the point is that I'm submitting to him. And it's, we have to learn to submit the flaws and submit the weakness as well as to submit the strengths. And to say, "Lord, you know, I'm really not what I'd like to be.
But you see me as I am. And Lord, what you see is what you've got. All of it. Until when we want to say, Lord, I'll do anything but that. Lord, I'll do anything, but don't ask me. Finally, that just stifled down, and we say, Lord, anything. I'll do it. No reservation. Somehow the fruit of the Spirit then becomes manifest in self-control. This is the most private of the three lines on the grid. Though this is where we face ourselves in the Spirit, it's also where we ultimately face the world. For unless by the Holy Spirit of God we have faced and conquered ourselves, we're never going to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And the key verse in this entire series that's coming to a close right now is verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And I believe I've been preaching to people for 3 weeks now, and for longer than that, who have a measure of life in the Spirit. You are alive in Christ, but you know that you're not really in step with the Spirit. And I would like to ask you personally this morning, are you in harmony? Are you in step? Are you in submission to the Holy Spirit of God? Do you have the witness in your heart that you're in harmony with Him in every major facet of your life? Oh, I'm not saying, have you completed this line? Are you perfect in patience, kindness, and goodness? Are you a saint in faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? I'm asking you, are you in step with the Spirit, or are you concerned about being in step with the Spirit? Someday, somewhere, a church is going to get in step with the Holy Spirit. It's going to start watching and looking and listening. And I want to tell you, when that church gets in step with the Holy Spirit, it's going to be something terrible to behold. Terrible in the true sense. An army with banners to strike terror to the heart of those that would oppose right. I want to say to you this morning that if you're not in step with the Holy Spirit, that's the only place to be. It has to become the consuming passion. It doesn't just happen. Oh, I received the Lord back there. I guess everything's all right. But the fruit of the Spirit must be cultivated, and it must be cultivated by being in step with the Spirit. It says, if we live in the Spirit, since we live by the Spirit, your faith has to be more than just a theoretical faith, a head faith. Do you have life in God this morning? Say, yes, I know I do. Praise God for that. Well, then will you begin to say, Lord, show me how to catch step with the Holy Spirit. Show me how to make a complete surrender to His will. That's what our church really means by holiness. It means surrendering that life which He's given to us. We know it's there and it's good, and we can sense a measure of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. We can sense that the Holy Spirit is there with His fruit. But Paul beseeches you, and I beseech you this morning, since we have life in the Spirit, let's get in step with Him. Will you do that? I don't know how else to close. I thought I'd close on a martial air, so that's why I put We're Marching to Zion in there. I wish instead we could sing number 241 as we close. Thanks. The only one way to keep step with the Spirit of God is to let Him have His way. He can't change step to get in step with you. Amos the prophet said, can two walk together except to be agreed? Of course, the answer is no. But he's the holy one. He's the righteous one. He's the God of love. Are you willing to change your step just a little bit? Will you let him have his way with you?